Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Happy Friday to you, 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello is here as well. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here and being a part of the show. Appreciate it. It is Open Line Friday, which means you can call and talk about just about anything you want. There are certain topics I'll be like, nah, and we'll move on. But mostly, you can talk about anything you want. 673-5890 is the phone number. If you have a question about something or a comment on something, something's bugging you or exciting you or whatever, give us a call. 673-5890. Also, you can text me anytime at 435-467-5842. That is my text line. We will be giving away at some point during the show a $25 gift card to Los Tapatios. Don't call right now unless you want to be on the air. Because we're not giving it away yet, but sometime during the point during the show, we will be giving that away. And again, thanks to Mello, she's the one that went down to Los Tapatios and said, "Hey, you want to give stuff away?" And
yeah,
it's awesome.
They said, "Heck yeah, we love it."
Heck yeah, that reminds me of my granddaughter. So, my daughter-in-law, my son's wife, has some definite catchphrases. She really loves catchphrases. She'll be like, "Classic" is one of them, and "Heck yeah" is one of them. Well, they have a 2-year. We just went up last weekend for this 2-year-old's birthday party, and her mom always says, "Heck yeah." Well, this little 2-year-old has picked up on it, and you have this cute little 2-year-old redheaded girl going, "Heck yeah," all the time. So
that's so cute.
It is pretty dang cute, I have to admit.
Yes.
Anytime she's excited or thinks something really cool, she'll go, "Heck yeah."
That's a good phrase.
So, yeah. For sure. Welcome to the program, everybody. Today, we're going to start off talking about a word in the English language that used to mean something and still does mean something, but it has migrated, transformed to mean something slightly different, still based on the same idea, but slightly different. And the word I'm talking about is the word cringe. Now, Mello, if I were to ask you, when you hear the word cringe, what do you think of? What does that conjure?
Well, I have nieces, and they called me and their aunts cringe when we would post on social media, like dancing or something, that were really cringe.
Awkward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're like, "Please stop."
Okay, this is, according to Google, a cringe factor in humans refers to a feeling of discomfort, awkwardness, or an embarrassment experienced when witnessing or experiencing something perceived as socially inappropriate, like your aunt posting on social media, overly cheesy, or just plain awkward, often causing a physical reaction like flinching or tension in the body. Essentially, it's a reaction to something that makes you feel like you want to cringe away from the situation due to its perceived social awkwardness. That's kind of what cringe means now, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I understand
pretty much. When I was younger, probably not that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, cringe actually had a lot more to do with something that was gross. Like if you saw a dead body, you would cringe. Or if you somebody threw up in front of you, that would, make you cringe. If you drove by a car accident and there was, people mangled, it was cringeworthy. And, so even though the word, it's actually the same concept, it has migrated a little bit more to mean kind of almost embarrassing, really. Mm-hmm. Whereas before it actually meant something that would make you feel really, uncomfortable, which I guess is pretty close to the same thing. But, and the reason I bring this up, so last night, I'm doing a basketball game. I say last night, it was late afternoon, really. And a kid from one of the teams up north came down with a rebound, and he came down hard on one leg, and his lower leg, there's two bones down there, but it snapped in half.
Ouch.
And, there have been documented cases of, Joe Theismann, Gordon Hayward, many, many occasions in sport where an athlete has broken their leg. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, the TV producers, the show producers, choose not to show the replay, or at the very least, issue a warning. If you are someone who cringes or someone who doesn't like this kind of thing, look away as we play this replay. And so last night as we're discussing this, of course, I'm on radio, but there was a streaming service there too doing video, and they chose not to show the replay of this kid's leg breaking. And it got, and the guy I was doing the game with, his name is Rustin, he talked about it too. He's like, you know, we're radio and obviously we don't do replays, but he said, if this was video, we would not show you that replay because it was kind of gruesome. Now when you say gruesome, Mello, his leg, it didn't break the skin. There was no bone popping out and there was no blood.
Oh, you're making it worse.
I know. I'm sorry. but his leg did break and it was kind of sitting at an awkward angle and it was,
oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah. It was a little bit, cringeworthy, if you will, the old meaning of cringeworthy. But I'm just curious what, you know, as people observe sporting events, as people observe everyday life, if something like that happens, why do we get so, I mean, for example, if we go, this is the opposite example. This is why I don't understand. If we're on the freeway and there was a crash, right? Two cars mangled up and there's probably dead bodies or injured bodies. What do people do when this happens? They slow down. They even have a word for it, look-a-loos, right?
Right.
People that slow down because they want to see, ooh, maybe I can see blood. Maybe I can see a mangled body.
Right, what
maybe
happened?
Yeah, they really want to see it. And these are the same people who will not watch a replay of an athlete breaking his leg on television. And I'm wondering, what's the difference there? Why?
Well, I'm wondering if it has something to do with the privacy of that person who was injured. And maybe the radio station or the TV producers profiting off of that that visual to get more looks or more clicks or more likes, just because it's actually a person and not just an incident. I don't know. That's kind of the only way I can think of it.
It is a weird time we live in. Studies have shown that when someone on YouTube, and this always happens, like maybe a TV station says, oh, we're not going to do that replay. But then someone was watching it live on and recorded it on YouTube,
yes,
and that video goes viral, and millions of people watch it.
It's true, and that's because we do want to see it.
We do want to see it.
Right.
Yeah. What's wrong with us?
I know. I'm guilty of this lately, and I've noticed as it's, like, increasing in my feed. So I'm really good. I'm not on Instagram anymore, right?
Yeah.
But now I'm on Twitter, so that's worse, because it will adjust your feed based on what you're looking at. And you know how we had the gun expert on the other day?
Yeah.
They actually show people that mess around and find out is what they call it. They have a more colorful term for that.
Uh-huh.
And they'll actually show, like, somebody coming into the store and then the store owner grabbing a gun and shooting them, and they show it.
Oh.
And so I watched, like, one of those, and all of a sudden my feed was just exploding with all of these violent acts.
Right.
But that's because I watched it.
Yeah.
I watched one, and everybody just wants to see one thing, but then it just kind of multiplies, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we've definitely talked about they're spying on us. They're watching what we're watching and saying, okay, you want more of that? Here you go.
I know, and I was like, no, I changed my mind. I don't want to see that. I was just kidding.
You know what I find kind of funny? I bought, what was it? Oh, I bought a bread, a knife to cut for my wife. This was like for Christmas. I bought her a knife, this fancy knife to cut bread with, cut loaves of bread. Within an hour, my Facebook feed was full of a whole bunch of different other kinds of knives to cut bread with. And I'm like, hey guys, I already bought it. What? You know what I mean? Like, maybe they think I didn't decide yet. And so they wanted to be in on the fight or whatever. But to me, I'm like, yeah, why are you giving me all this stuff? And it's happened with, you know, I bought a shirt on fanatics.com, a BYU shirt, and it's the same kind of thing. Then all of a sudden I'm getting all these things from all these different companies. I'm like, you're too late. The cow's out the barn here. You know?
I know. And sometimes I'm just talking about something.
Ooh, yeah.
And it comes up.
That's the really freaky one.
Right.
That's
and I'm
really
like, that one makes me uncomfortable. And I swear one time I didn't even talk about it. I thought about it.
Oh.
I swear. And it came up on my phone. I know that's a little extra, but I swear that happened.
That would be coincidence, I think. I can't. They cannot read your thoughts.
Not yet.
Unless you made some kind of action about it. You typed it in somewhere or said it somewhere.
Maybe.
Or, you know, maybe even you. I believe, you know, if you type a note into your phone, there's probably some way they can get a hold of that, you know, to self type thing. So,
or your reminders, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, one of the other things that is a little bit cringy for humans is I was reading up on this stupid topic, completely stupid, but getting a hair in your mouth. And I say this, I mean, you're like, oh, And I know people listening are going, oh, I hate that. That's mm-hmm. disgusting. And why would mm-hmm. you even talk about that? But I had a hair in my mouth the other day, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't get it. It was like probably a little eyelash hair or something. Drove me nuts. And I'm like, why is that such a freaky thing for humans? I mean, you watch a cat give himself a bath, and hair everywhere, right?
Yeah. Ooh.
And they swallow it, and eventually they hawk up a hairball. But and so I was reading up on it. Apparently, the human stomach does not digest hair. Period.
Oh, really?
So what if you swallow a hair, it's going to have to exit your body.
Okay.
Not to get too gross, but you know what I mean? It's got to find a way to exit. And that's, I think that's one of the, when we talk about instinct and innate whatever, cringing over something gross is kind of an instinct. I think grossing out when you have a hair in your mouth is also an instinct because our bodies cannot digest hair.
Okay, so then go back to that. And if you're cringing because you don't want to see it, but then you really do want to see it because you're turning your head at the accident, what is that saying? Is that like the natural man?
I don't know.
Kind of overpowering what your inner body is telling you not
curiosity.
To do?
Curiosity. Wait, oh, we got the cat back. Curiosity killed the cat, but the hair didn't. So I full circle here.
That is full circle.
I don't know what
I like
the answer is here on this one. But okay, so back to the word cringe. Should we abandon the old meaning of cringe? The cringe, oh, that was gross. I'm the blood, gore, whatever. People love to be scared. I mean, horror movies are very popular, and there's a reason they're popular. I don't like horror movies. My wife and I just assume not. And yet we like to watch murder mysteries and real, real life case studies and stuff. But being scared, being horrified is big business now.
Yeah. Right? It is. I don't like scary movies at all. So there's another word that my girls taught me.
Mm-hmm.
It's ratchet.
Ratchet. Okay.
So what do you think of when you think of ratchet?
But before you say anything else, I'm going to tell you the only ratchet I know is, you got the wrench and they have the they call them ratchet where they click one direction and they tighten the other and you can switch direct. That's the only ratchet I know. And I guess you could say ratchet up the noise, ratchet up the intensity. That's a sports term. But how about, where does ratchet fit on this one?
So the slang term for ratchet, I looked it up just to make sure I wasn't wrong, means low class or out of control. Depending on the context, it can be used in a disparaging word or complimentary. I've only heard it used disparagingly. So they'll say, oh, that girl's so ratchet, like she's sleazy or she's low class.
Oh, so it's maybe a mispronunciation of the word wretched, kind of?
Maybe.
That's the only thing I can think of why it would mean that.
But it's ratchet, and that's what they call.
Oh, she's so ratchet. Huh?
She's so ratchet. So don't call anybody ratchet.
Okay. I wasn't going to before, and I won't now, but it makes me cringe when you say that.
Dad joke coming around.
So I guess my question to folks out there now, and if you want to call, 673-5890, would you cringe? Would you want to see the replay if a kid in a basketball game broke his leg and obviously it was broken? And by the way, I think I got in a little bit of trouble with the guy I was doing the game with because so in basketball, if a player, so this was on the defensive, the offensive end, the player came down with the ball, broke his leg, dropped the ball. The other team picked it up and ran to the other end to score. In basketball, the rule is, this is just strict point of rule, the rule is the referee does not stop play until the injured player's team has the ball again.
Really?
So they should have let play go on. It would have been 5-on-4 at the other end. Theoretically, Hurricane was the other team. Hurricane would have scored. Then the referee blows the whistle. In this instance, I don't know what the referee saw, if he saw the severity of it or whatever, but he blew the whistle right away and stopped the play. The players had started up the floor with the injured guy, the broken leg guy on the ground. He stopped play right then. And I'm curious, did he do the right thing? I know by point of rule, he did not. You're not supposed to stop it until your team has the ball back again, but man, if the dude's leg's broken and he's slapping the floor and screaming, and he was. The guy was slapping the floor and kind of screaming out that, because imagine the pain involved if your leg snaps.
I think I would have done the same thing as that ref. I think I would have called the play and say, hey, this is like real life here. We're paused.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder, I don't know. I know the rule books pretty well. I prided myself in knowing the rule books pretty well. But maybe there's a provision in there that if it is perceived that the injury is especially egregious, especially bad, mm-hmm. maybe then they do stop play. I don't know if there's a provision in the rule book for that or not. And maybe if we have a rules expert, they can call. Mm-hmm. But the original rule is if a player is injured, they do not stop play unless the player is deemed to be in the way of harm or until his team gets the ball back. And he was neither. When they blew it dead. So.
I don't know. I know my son, when he was like 6 years old, was on our monkey bars, and he was watching a lot of Ninja Warrior, so he thought he could jump like from one handlebar and skip one and catch the other one. And he landed on his elbow and broke his elbow. And my husband carrying my son in, like, I can usually take like accidents and blood and stuff, but when it's your own kid and you like see the arm like going the other direction, it's overwhelming. And so I can imagine like that ref seeing that happen and just saying, oh wait, this is like an emergency.
Yeah. We wish that the kid the best. His last name was Pinocchi. It's like Pinocchio without the O on the end. So Pinocchi. But we wish him the best. He played for Ridgeline. Their season is over. He's a junior though. So breaking a leg is a big, two bones in a leg. That's a big serious injury. And I'm guessing they're going to have screws and plates and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh,
that's
so sad.
I hope he can be back for his senior year because he's a decent player, going to be a really good player next year if he can recover from this. But sad deal. I hope that he's going to be okay. Congratulations to Hurricane, by the way. They won in overtime.
Nice.
So Hurricane plays Payson tonight. Dixie plays Green Canyon tonight in the state semifinals in boys. And then I know I wasn't there for the girls games, but I know that Dixie got a huge win, an upset win over Provo in overtime. You were here late doing that one.
I was. It went into overtime. And then one of the girls that had like tried to make several threes during the game, actually clutch players, she did it right when it was overtime. And then they were able to get another basket and they won it.
So Dixie is in the semifinals. The bad news is they're playing 26-0 Ridgeline, has a division in Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma or Oklahoma State signee. Dixie can beat them, but they're going to have to play just about as good as they can play to have a chance against this Ridgeline team. On the other bracket, Snow Canyon won, and they'll play, I think it's Skyview, in the other side of the semifinals for the girls. And Snow Canyon has Olivia Hamlin, who is a Division I. She is amazing.
Really?
Young point guard. And Snow Canyon is 25-0.
Really?
So you've got Ridgeline and Snow Canyon, both undefeated on opposite sides of the bracket. The destiny is they're supposed to meet each other in the championship. They did last year. Ridgeline won it. Snow Canyon wants to get revenge. So we'll see what happens. I know Dixie fans are like, hey, don't count the chickens until they're hatched, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. 9:26. Let's talk about chickens and hatched and eggs and stuff real quick.
Okay.
I did an article yesterday on 890kdxu.com talking about the price of eggs.
Yes.
Holy cow. And I cannot believe how much eggs cost now. I went to the website. I did the shop online for every grocery store in town. Smith's, Harmon's, Walmart, Albertsons, Digby's. Am I forgetting one? Anyway, mm-mm. I went to all of them yesterday. Not yesterday, because yesterday I was at games all day. The day before yesterday. And I couldn't believe the price of eggs. And so eggs wholesale are about $7.50 a dozen. Think about that. That's wholesale. That's from the farmer to the stores. They're buying them for, I think, technically $7.44 or something like that. I'm going to look at it real quick here.
So
it is $7.44, yeah.
Because it doesn't really affect me because I have a friend who I sold a house to in Vail.
You get eggs?
I get free eggs. So I just go
free?
I go to the bank and I pick them up. But guess what I'm doing to help pay for those eggs?
What's that?
I'm buying 50 baby chicks. And they're going to be in my garage, and I'm going to have them under warmers and stuff while she goes to Ireland, and then give her the chickens.
What if some of them die while she's gone?
Then I'll be sad.
Are you on the hook? Or?
I have a husband, and he can take care of that for me, so I'll be okay.
I guess you can't flush. That's gross. You can't flush it like a goldfish, though.
No.
Okay, back to the eggs. So wholesale price for an egg is for a dozen is $7.44. That's roughly 62 cents per egg. You think about that.
What?
62 cents per egg is what the grocery stores are paying the distributors to get those eggs. Now, a lot of grocery stores they use eggs as they call them a loss leader.
Yes.
Which means they're going to charge less than that. They're going to lose money on eggs because they figure while you're there, you're going to buy bacon, maybe, you know, milk, maybe flour, whatever to make mm-hmm. pancakes and stuff. You're going to buy other stuff mm-hmm. while you're there. So they're going to take a loss. And doing that right now, let's see, Smith's is charging $5.49 a dozen. They're actually losing almost $2 a dozen to get you in the door. Walmart, $6.12 a dozen. That is $1.32 less than they're paying wholesale. Digby's also almost a dollar less per dozen than the actual wholesale price. Mm. The other grocery stores actually charge, they're not taking a loss on it. But those three stores are saying, you know what, come in. We'll charge you less for your eggs, and we will take a loss and hope you buy other things. So, when you think about the price per egg, so I think I've said this before. I like to have every morning I have an egg with a piece of ham and a piece of cheese on an English muffin. That's my chosen. I don't usually eat the whole thing. I usually eat about half of it, but that's what I like to have every morning. I feel like the protein from the egg, the good flavor, having something warm first thing in the morning, that's a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. But you start doing the math on these eggs, man. If I'm paying 70 cents an egg or something like that, like Harmon's right now, $8.49 for a dozen for 71 cents per egg. Oh, by the way, and I did want to say right up front, it's a dozen white extra large eggs because you can buy them in all sizes. You can buy brown eggs are actually cheaper than white eggs now for whatever reason.
That's weird.
But I did a study on the exact same, the one dozen white extra large eggs, the cheapest brand I could find in each store. And those are the prices. If you want to read the whole story, go to 890kdxu.com. I have a list of how much each store charged for a dozen white extra large eggs. Again, the cheapest in town was Smith's at $5.49 a dozen. And the most expensive in town was Lynn's at $9.49 a dozen. A lot of them in between. The only two losing money on the eggs, Smith's, Walmart, and Digby's. Everybody else charges more than $7.44, although Albertsons is close. They charge $7.49 a dozen, which is only 5 cents more than they are paying wholesale. So there we go. Melo, did someone call?
Yeah, we had a gal call, Mrs. Robinson, and she was asking if you knew about the accident that was on Bluff Street the other day with a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Was it a guy or a girl on the motorcycle? What was the situation? Do you know?
Yeah, they haven't really released any more details, unfortunately. And that's kind of a weird thing about the news cycle. When it first happens, we get all the details about how it happened, why it happened, and everything. But once it goes to hospital, the HIPAA laws apply. And unless the victim's family wants to release information, we got nothing. They say, sorry, HIPAA laws, we can't tell you a single thing. We can't tell you their condition, except for a general, they were extremely critical. We can't tell you a gender. We can't tell you a name. We can't tell you anything. So it's one of the frustrating things that's happened to me in the news business in the last few years, because it used to be, the police would follow it up and the emergency and the hospital, and you could find out anything about mm-hmm. anybody. They don't do that anymore.
So interesting. So you kind of have to catch it at the scene in order to get that information?
Yeah, you have to get really fortunate. And so I really don't have any more details than what has already been published on our site and on other news websites in the area. It was basically a truck T-boned a motorcycle or vice versa, and I was a victim of a similar accident. It's been, I think, 7 years now where mm-hmm. I was driving straight, minding my business on my motorcycle, and someone pulled in front of me. The guy said, I didn't see you.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I'm 300 pounds. My motorcycle's 800 pounds. My wife was on back, and you didn't see us?
I know.
Really?
That's why when I rode motorcycles, I don't ride them anymore. I liked the really loud one, because then people can at least hear you.
Well, everybody's like, why are motorcycles so loud? Well, you know what? It's kind of loud because that what you were just saying, Melanie. Mm-hmm. It kind of needs to be loud because people somehow aren't seeing them.
Yeah.
I read a thing the other day about motorcycles that said, teach your kids when they're young to count motorcycles. Maybe say, hey, let's do a game where everybody that sees a red motorcycle, or a blue one, or a motorcycle that's a Harley Davidson or whatever. And when at a young age, if the kid starts noticing motorcycles, then they actually are more likely to see them when they get older.
That's good.
There are a couple other things. If you ride a motorcycle, you're more likely to see other motorcycles, mm-hmm. even when you're not on your motorcycle. That's a big one as well. If a family member of yours rides a motorcycle, your husband, your son, your cousin, your sister, whatever, you're more likely to see motorcycles. But,
yeah.
You know, our eyes are not video cameras. We don't see every single thing. And so sometimes mm-hmm. our mind fills in. If we only get a glimpse of something, our mind will fill in. And, it's a real phenomenon where people sometimes just don't see motorcycles. It comes in that little blind spot in your brain.
Right. And sometimes you like go over and then you realize, oh shoot, there was a motorcycle and I didn't see them and I'm sorry. Yeah. And you just kind of like wave and say sorry. But
it's funny. Our lawyer friends were just on We Win Injury Law guys and they were talking about, within days after you get in an accident that wasn't your fault, a claims adjuster is going to come in and say, hey, let me write you a check for X amount of dollars, and you sign this waiver that says you won't ever litigate. Now, I'm not a fan of I've never sued anybody. I don't know much about litigation. But I know when I got in my motorcycle wreck, that was not my fault. Within days, their insurance guy came, the other guy's insurance guy came in and said, hey, I'll give you $1,500 if you sign this thing that says you will never sue me. Well, I'm looking at it, I'm going, you know, I feel okay, and $1,500, that sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know, I didn't know anything about it. So I signed a thing, took the check, I'm like happy as can be, and then my knee started hurting.
Oh, no.
And then I started having back problems. And then, you know, my wife started having shoulder problems. And all the stuff that I'm 99% sure came because we were in that wreck mm-hmm. that we wouldn't have had to deal with otherwise. But at that point, I signed a thing and took the $1,500 and...
Yeah, it's
too
hard.
Bad for you.
It is. It's a bummer. So, Barbara, that's the answer. We don't know.
I don't know. Sorry about that, Barbara. Yeah. We'll find out more if we can. But like I said, once it gets turned over to the hospital system, the HIPAA laws apply and we're locked out. So, all right, let's do a weather check and we'll be back with more on the Andy Griffin Show. Let's do this right now. We'll give away the $25 to Los Tapatios Restaurant, $25 gift card. From Los Tapatios, and Mello will answer caller number
five.
Caller number five. And when you get on with Mello talking about winning this, she will recommend what it is you should eat while you're there.
Because drink.
Because she has some definite recommendations. Call right now, 673-5890. And win that prize.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, congratulations. Debbie is the winner of our Los Tapatios restaurant giveaway.
Mm-hmm. What was the burrito you liked there? I couldn't remember the name of it.
I think it was Colorado burrito. I like real Mexican food with ground beef or you know, carne asada or whatever, pollo, you know, but I also like hamburger. I'm an old fashioned country boy who likes a little hamburger, and this burrito had a hamburger in it.
Okay.
So it was really good.
Yeah, I've never tried anything else there. Well, I did. I tried the inside of the burrito just without the shell.
The inside of the burrito.
Like the chicken, chimichanga meat,
mm-hmm.
like just like just by itself the without the meat. It was like, uh-huh. It has like mushrooms in it too. I don't remember what it's called. The servers just tell me what to get.
Okay. We were talking earlier about social media spying on us. This text came in. Y'all are surprised about Facebook and Twitter spying, but do you have any idea what the NSA is doing to its citizens? And then he said, ... asking for a friend with a laughy face.
So, oh no, yeah. Don't make me more scared. And I even heard if you turn off your phone, because of the way they've done the batteries in the back of the phone now, how they're, like, adhered in, you can't remove them, that you can't, like, you can turn off your phone, but it still knows where you are.
Oh,
and it still listens.
That
so it's
sounds
not
paranoid.
Even off.
I don't know if I'm buying that one, Mello.
I don't know. I think all the conspiracy theories lately have come true, so I think that you should open your heart
you
a little bit.
You say all of them have come true.
A lot
I'm not
of
going
them.
There
a
because
lot of them.
There are literally thousands of them, man. About
okay, like
two-thirds of them are poppycock.
Has come true. You know,
yeah,
like those kinds of things.
No, yeah, I know, but there are so many conspiracies out there from, you know, aliens or
moon
implanting
landing, yeah.
things in our bodies and. I don't for 1 minute believe aliens abduct people and put probes up their butts. Sorry, I'm not going. I don't buy that at all. But that's a popular conspiracy theory out there.
Yeah. So.
Okay. That's not all. I shouldn't have said all. It's not an absolute. I apologize. I know better than that with you.
Let's talk about gas for a minute. Yeah, not the kind that, you know, the methane, the kind that you put in your car. Last night you said you were out of gas. It was 11 o'clock at night. You're a beautiful young woman. You're worried about, you know, going anywhere in the middle of the night to get gas, but you had to get gas at 11 o'clock at night. And what did you decide to do?
I thought, you know what? I'm going to drive out to the reservation because I'm not paying $3.16 a gallon for
gas.
You
went to Shivwitz. Okay.
I did.
Do you remember how much you paid?
$2.90.
Okay.
There was nobody there, so I was safe.
I did a story. That's good. I did a story about the price of gas in the area. In fact, I went to Gas Buddy, which is very famous for publishing who has the cheapest gas at any given time. Shivwitz, $2.90. So mm-hmm. they were accurate. Actually the second cheapest gas station in the county. Did you know that?
It's only the second cheapest? I thought it was the cheapest.
There is one cheaper, but you have to drive to Hurricane.
Oh.
It is North Atlantic gas station. I don't even know which one that is. It's called North Atlantic. It's $2.87 a gallon.
Really?
So
okay.
Somebody maybe that lives out that way can clue me in. That far west, I'm thinking, is that as far as, say, Lava Bluff and Quail Creek Estates? And there used to be what they call the Quail Lake Quick Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, but I don't know which one is North Atlantic, and maybe somebody can text me and enlighten me. 467-5842. Okay, the top 10. So if you want gas, the top 5 were North Atlantic, Shivwitz at $2.90, Sinclair at $2.93, and then a tie for 4th between Costco at $2.99, Corner Mart at $2.99. That's at 7th South and 8th East in St. George. And Sinclair Ernie's at 10th East and on the Boulevard at $2.99. Oh, and one more, another Sinclair on old US 91. The debate then, it goes back to kind of the beginning of my article, and this is from 890kdxu.com, is it worth it to drive, or maybe not, is it worth it? How much is it worth to drive to a place that has cheaper gas?
I know, and that's what I was thinking when I drove back that late, because I drove right past the gas station that was like $3.09 a gallon.
Okay.
So I saved 19 cents a gallon. I think I have like a 14-gallon tank.
Okay, so if you go 14 times 19, that's, you know, $1.90.
$2.66.
So you're saving a couple of bucks.
That worth it? I don't know. That's what I was telling myself on the way home. I'm like, was that really worth it?
So then you think, okay, did I use 1 gallon to get out there and back? Well, it depends on your gas mileage.
18 miles to the gallon.
And yeah, you maybe did. I don't know. You know, a buddy of mine drives from Washington City out to Shivwitz to get gas.
Wow.
Every time he needs a tank, he drives out to Shivwitz and gets gas because the cheapest gas in town, man. Of course I'm going to do it. And I'm like, dude, do you realize Washington City out to the Shivwitz is... that 20 miles?
Mm-hmm.
And so if he gets, now he has just a regular midsize SUV, he probably gets around 20 to the gallon mm-hmm. around town. So he's basically using a gallon of gas to get there and back anyway. Is that worth it? Because he just spent $2.90 on a gallon of gas to get there.
It just feels better to my heart that I'm not spending as much money on
gas. Well, this is what he told me. He said, you know, you're probably right that it's not worth it. But he said, I don't really care. It feels good to pay the cheaper price. Plus, they have great jalapeno hot dogs.
Oh, I didn't know that. They do have mixed drinks there, Dirty Dr. Peppers and stuff.
Yeah.
They have a Native American mixed drink.
So I concluded, the bottom line is this. If you like where you currently go, a few cents per gallon doesn't really matter that much. Think about my wife's car. My wife drives a Subaru. It gets about 30 miles a gallon, but in her gas tank, it's a 16-gallon tank. We'll fill up when there's a gallon left, say, just mm-hmm. for example. So 15 gallons. If I were to save 5 cents a gallon or 9 cents a gallon even, I mean, the savings is about $1. Is it worth it?
I know. And then you're going to buy a drink when you go there anyway. So you've got a free drink out of it. Maybe think of it like that.
That's true. You know, there was a place when we were up north, up in Payson, that said free 44-ounce drink with every fill-up. And mm-hmm. I'm like, And wait a minute, 44-ounce drinks are like $3 nowadays. Mm-hmm. So that's like a free gallon of gas. Maybe it is worth it.
Maybe if you do the math, like girl math, like you trade out one thing you were going to spend and get it for free, you know.
That's a good point. I think that what I decided, though, look, if you're going to get gas somewhere, if it's a place you like, if it's not too busy, if it's convenient, if they sell something like drinks or whatever mm-hmm. that you like, just go where you want to go. Go where you like. And you know, if you get a car that, you know, 35 miles a gallon and it's a 12-mile drive to the to Shivwitz or to this other one out in Hurricane, mm-hmm. go for it. If that's what you want to do, go for it.
Yeah.
If, you know, you factor in the time factor, too. Is it worth your time? I don't know. It's all in there, but just go where you like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Agreed.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about babies. Yay, babies.
My favorite.
We'll talk about that when we get back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Coming through for us. Yes, I love it when listeners clear things up for us. So, somebody texted me, said, hey, Andy, North Atlantic in Hurricane is apparently the new Quail Lake quick stop after the longtime owner sold it. I knew the old owner, mm-hmm. Kevin Trewart, said it was $2.97 per gas buddy today. It was $2.91 yesterday. In my article, I think I had him at $2.87. Mm-hmm. So they've gone up a few cents. And, yeah. and that would be, unless Shivwitz went up again, but you were there last night.
At 11, it was still $2.90.
Shivwitz is currently the leader in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's a, do you think there's a battle out there? Like they're looking at each other going, I'm going to beat you.
I think they do like next to each other because I live in Santa Clara and those two gas stations are pretty close. But you can download the Gas Buddy app. And then
for free,
and it'll show you which area. It's really nice when you're driving like across like the state or to California mm-hmm, or wherever, because mm-hmm. you don't know where the gas stations are or what they are until you pull up to them. So.
And generally speaking, if it's right next to the interstate, it's going to be more. It's not always. That's not hard and fast rule. But generally speaking, if it's the most convenient, the closest one right to the freeway, they're going to charge you more money.
Right, like St. George Boulevard here in off the freeway is always like. Oh, like 50 cents more.
Yeah.
It's a lot
it's
more.
Crazy how much more it mm-hmm. is. There was a place, and I hate to call people out, but so on the corner of Greenspring and Buena Vista or Red Hills Parkway, there used to be two gas stations. There was a Chevron, and then on the other side, it was like a Texaco or whatever it is. And they tore the Chevron down. It's now a Maverick. There's mm-hmm. a Maverick there. But what for the year, maybe 2 years that the Chevron was gone, that other station went crazy, charging unbelievably high amounts for gas. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's like they knew we're not going to get locals, so we're going to get the interstate travelers, and we're just going to nail them. And I could not believe how much they charge. And it wasn't just gas. I went in their store once, and you know, like a candy bar was like $3 and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, holy cow, what's going on here?
But,
so again, gas preference. Whatever you prefer, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, if there's a place close to your house and it's never that busy, you know, go there. Mr. D's over there. My buddy lived right there off mm-hmm. of the St. George Golf Course. He'd go to Mr. D's all the time. I'm like, why do you go to Mr. D's? It's cheaper over here. He's like, I like Mr. D's. I just go there.
I know. I like the people at the gas station by my house.
Yeah, that's important, too.
Yeah.
That's obviously very important.
But that's just for sodas. Not gas.
There was and I think Costa Vida and a shopping place is there now on the other side of the freeway on the corner of Telegraph in Greenspring. Used to be a Chevron there, and they had a drive-thru. And this was before Fizz and Swig and all those. They had a drive-thru. You could get your drink in a drive-thru.
That's amazing.
That was like the first time I ever did that. I thought, this is really cool. This is going to catch on. And if I was smart, I would have opened my own version of Swig right then and there and be a rich man right now.
I know.
And we would be not on the radio together right now.
I
would be sipping Mai Tais in a gigantic pool on my private airplane.
But, there you go. But not.
Yeah, no. I'd actually probably still be on the radio because I love doing this.
That's right.
Okay, only 4 minutes left. I did want to talk about babies. So this is from an article from Paul on Free Man's Perspective. He says, have you ever noticed that pessimistic and depressed people avoid babies? I'm sure there are exceptions to this statement, but on the whole, I think it's accurate. Dark, gloomy minds shy away from babies. There's something to learn from this. There's a psychological need to be around small children. I'm convinced that we need a sufficient number of children in our lives if we are to function well over time. Hmm. While I can't point to particular studies, I'm convinced that interactions with children keep us properly balanced, that we become unbalanced in some way when we are without them for too long a time. If these thoughts are true or anywhere close to true, they are things that we should pay attention to. You, Mello, you have 7 kids.
Mm-hmm.
You are now a grandma. Mm-hmm. How important are babies to you?
I love babies. And I love it so much more when I get to squeeze this baby and love this baby and then give the baby back.
Yeah?
And I can go to sleep.
This thing smells funny. Take it away from me.
I know. I changed my grandbaby's diapers like when he was really little. But now I don't have to. Like, it's just like mom and dad take over and I can just enjoy him and I love it.
Yeah. I think that, first of all, this is not a hard and fast rule, just like the other rule I was talking about earlier. There are exceptions. If a baby is crying all the time, that's not fun to be around, you know? Or if a baby is not running down its face or it's stinky or whatever, you know? But generally speaking, being around little children is good for the soul. It's good for the heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny, my wife and I love infants. I love when they're up to about 4 months when they're just snuggly and they can't really do anything and just hold them and they're warm and they're looking at you and they're smiling. And my wife really doesn't like infants very much.
Hmm.
She likes them when they can do stuff, when they start crawling and when they're old enough you can read stories to them and they understand what you're saying. And it's an interesting phenomenon, but, you know, all our kids really... You know, I mean, she nursed a couple of them and stuff, so there was that factor. But generally speaking, before they were 6 months old, they were preferential. I liked them better, and they liked me better. And mm-hmm. then when they got a little bit older and they could play and read and do stuff, that's when my wife really dug it. And right now, we have 2 4-year-old twins,
mm-hmm.
grandkids, and she just loves that age. She is one of them. She just gets right down in there.
Right down the floor and plays. 18 months is my favorite age, like as far as like going through all the ages,
mm-hmm.
just because they're learning so many new words. They can point things out. They have their own opinions about things, and they're just so inquisitive. It's just my favorite is 18 months old.
More from this article from Paul, just a little excerpt. Babies have strong effects upon us because they reset us mentally. They pull us back to less damaged states of mind. They are a sort of untainted comparator, a tool to help calibrate our minds and our sense of life. Think about that. You know, babies, they're not jaded from all the things that you and I have witnessed in life.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on, with babies, we are confronted with raw humanity, newly introduced into the world, headed into unlimited possibilities. To say it another way, babies provide a sort of spiritual reset. They take us away from the dark mental loops most people live in and confront us with a nearly blank human state.
Mm. Yeah.
I like that.
I like that. That's a very
idea.
Nice way to say it.
And, you know, we spent last weekend, a lot of the last weekend, with my daughter. It was her birthday. She's 2 years old, my granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm sitting there, and she's incredibly intelligent. Her parents are very intellectual. She's a very, very smart girl. She does a lot of things that two-year-olds can't do yet. I mean, she's talking, she's doing alphabet and all that kinds of. Anyway, and I'm not saying this to brag. What I'm saying is it's the realm of what she could be, what she could become is really fun to think about and to mm-hmm. sit there with it. She's sitting in my lap and we're reading a story and she's identifying things and recognizing words and things like that. And I'm just like, man, she could be, you know, she could be the one that cures cancer. She could mm-hmm. be, you know, the president of the United States. I don't know what she could be, but she could be anything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of fun to think about. You know, I'm 58 years old. I'm not going to be any of those things. You know, I'm an old.
I think it's never too late to do anything, actually.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I can't dunk a basketball. And I never will dunk a basketball again.
Mm-hmm. I can get you a 4-foot hoop. You could dunk a basketball.